I want to welcome all today to the East West Church online experience. I thank you so much for being with us. We love you. We appreciate you. And I want you to know that God is with you right now. Something I failed to mention that I did not mention last week was that now, not only on Facebook, but this week we've been working on the YouTube channel, and that will be a part of our experience. So don't miss out on that. And for those that would like to give, you'll see it on the screen. There'll be times and opportunity for you to do so. We would appreciate that. But today I want to lift you up. Today I want to encourage you. I believe that God has a word for you. He has a word for me. I believe that God has a word of life, of growth for us all today. I want to take you into the scriptures because it's only through the word of God that we live and we move and we're strengthened. In Psalms 123 verse 1, it says something important. It says, "Unto thee I lift my eyes. I lift my eyes to you, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." We know where you dwell, O God, and we lift our eyes to you. Why don't you do that right now? Just thank him, the God of heavens and earth. Then he says in verse 2, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters." Do you understand what that means? That means they're standing there. They're waiting for the call. They're waiting for a signal. They're waiting for somebody to give them the command. And it says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of the mistress." In other words, she's waiting there. She's the maid waiting on the head of household, the woman of the house. "So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God." Our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. How many people today need mercy? How many of you want mercy? How many of you desire mercy? I lift my eyes up into the heavens and I seek out God. I watch him patiently, knowing that he is going to come and he's going to be a God, an on-time God. An on-time God. Turn to somebody and say, he's an on-time God. He's on time for me right now. So my eyes, in reading this, I say my eyes are fixed on my hope. On my hope. And here's something I want you to remember. Never relinquish your hope. Never give up your hope. Don't surrender your hope. I saw a little video the other day I'd share with you. It was a young boy, and he wanted to play soccer. And he worked and worked and worked, and was really, really good at it. And he's standing there on the field getting ready to try out, and he starts to back off. He starts to get afraid. He starts to lose hope. And his mother came up and started talking to him and telling him how proficient he was, how good he was, reminding him of who he was and what he'd accomplished. She took him out on the field and took him to the coach, and the coach said, "I'm sorry, I think you're a little too short to play." And in just a moment, destroyed all the hope the mother had built up. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Mom got upset and brought the boy back and made him see once again that he could walk in hope, and he became a proficient, effective soccer player. So never give up your hope. Just because you've got a coach in life telling you you're too short or you don't have what it takes, you don't give up your hope. Don't allow anyone to take that away from you, because God has given you strength. He's given you ability. He's given you gifts. So use them. Use them. Don't give them up. So never relinquish. Without hope, this is why it's important. Without hope, you lose sight of your goal. Whatever goals you set before us, once you lose hope, you'll lose your goal. If you've ever experienced watching a football game or a baseball game where the other team jumps out and they're 20, 30, 40 points ahead, you'll see the other team, what they're made of. If they lose hope, you'll see it. You'll see it. But then I've watched other teams get 21, 22 points behind and then garner their strength and gain their hope, and all of a sudden they come back and win the game. It's important not to lose hope. and lose sight of your goal. And when you lose your hope, you'll also lose sight of your purpose. What were you created to do? What are you trying to perform? You'll lose sight of your purpose. And actually, when you lose hope, you'll start losing life. If you want to start dying, just lose your hope. Just lose your hope. What is hope in relation to faith then? Last week I told you it's like taking a rifle and the iron sights are there and you point them toward your target. The aim is hope, but faith pulls the trigger. Faith is the projectile. So I want to give you this little illustration. It's like being lost at sea. Let's talk about hope and faith for a moment. Hope is like being lost at sea, and you're out there in the middle of the ocean. You don't know where you are, and you're just floating around, bobbing. The waves are tossing you. The storm is there. You can imagine how terrified you'd be. And so now, here's hope. Hope is that someone will come and find you in the water. That's hope. I'm hoping a ship will come. I'm hoping a helicopter will come by. I'm hoping an airplane will see me. I'm hoping for somebody to come by in a canoe. I don't care. Just somebody come and find me. Now, that, my friend, is hope. But when someone does find you, then hope starts to step aside. When you're found, that's when faith takes over. What do you mean? That makes no sense. Yes. Hope is when you need somebody to find you. Faith is when they get there, here's the faith, that they'll throw out a lifeline to save you. What does that mean? Faith is that you're confident now that they have found you in hope that they will throw out the lifeline and draw you into safety. Are you seeing the difference there? That's what faith is all about. And I know that when God is looking for us and helping us, He will always reach out and help you. No matter what, that's my faith. So as a matter of fact, hope is what drives you to live. Someone was out in the ocean. They said, what kept you alive for those? It was an unreal number of hours and hyperthermia and everything setting in. They said, because I had hope. I had hope. It kept me alive. So that's where faith kicks in, was when you're found. You can never lose that confidence that when you're found, and you will be found because God is your source, He will always bring you into safety. Amen? The German philosopher Immanuel Kant tells us this. There was three, in the 1700s, he wrote this, which mankind has always been asking. He said, which is this, what can I know? What shall I do? And for what may I hope? Did you hear that? As three things written in 1700 by this German philosopher, or actually Prussian, he was Prussian. He said, what can I know? What shall I do? And for what may I hope? Mankind is still asking those questions. And really, for what can I hope? In a time like this, in time of crisis, in time of pandemic, when time people are crying and it's, oh, woe is me. So many things are happening bad in our lives. Don't lose hope. Don't lose sight of the goal. We're coming back and we're going to come back stronger than ever. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that everything that you've seen fall will be built up and will be stronger and higher than ever before. This is not the end. All these people that are preaching gloom and doom and woe is me and this is the end of the world. It is not the end of the world. Hear it from me. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of life because the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right now ready to help you. Yes. Say that to somebody. Say it with your own mouth and believe it in your heart. He's ready to help you. So this is my hope. This is my call. What is that? To look unto my Father, the author and finisher of my faith. To look unto Jesus Christ because He will find me when I'm lost. He will find you when you're lost, and He'll throw out a lifeline. Throw out a lifeline. How many of you need a lifeline today? This Sunday morning, how many of you need a lifeline? How many of you feel like, I just don't know if I can make it anymore? Well, I'm going to tell you, you can make it. I will always look to God Almighty, for He is my source. I wrote a song years ago, God is my source and my strength now. God is your source. So what is your hope? I'm asking you now, what is your hope? Is it in your bank account? Think about this for a minute. Is it in your bank account? Is your hope in your health? Is your hope in your ability? Is your hope in your intellect? Is your hope in something that could change in an instant? Now, hear what I just said. Your hope, is it something that could change in an instant? Let me give you an illustration. Someone the other day, about a week and a half ago, they are working for a well-known company, and they get a substantial raise. Substantial raise. Moving them up high on the salary list. They go out, make sure that they've got a better place to live. They buy a brand new car, and guess what? Pandemic hits. And now they lose their job. If you put your trust in a job, if you put your trust in a paycheck, if you put your trust in those things that are man-made, they can and will fail. But God will never fail. God will not cancel your citizenship in the kingdom. God will not cancel the gifts He's given you. God will not cancel His love. He will not cancel His mercy, nor His grace. God will not cancel His healing power. I say to you right now that are suffering, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Man, hear this. Life is a proving ground. Everything that we see, everything that we do, everything that we're going through right now, it's nothing more than a proving ground for eternity. It's getting us ready for eternity. But let me just say this. Let me take a sidestep here for a moment. Just because it's a proving ground for eternity, it doesn't mean you have to stop living now. You need to live now, and you need to live the abundant life and do what God's asked you to do and prepare. It's a proving ground. It's a time of discipline. It's a time of strengthening. Now watch. Life is a proving ground for eternity and a platform. Say platform. It's a platform to demonstrate the kingdom of God. This is where we demonstrate the kingdom of God. We demonstrate it right here and right now in this physical sphere. We demonstrate the spirit in the natural, the supernatural in the natural. What God can do, His creative ability right here and now. That is our job. Knowing this, the things that I've just mentioned, it's going to change how you'll walk. How will you walk then? When I'm talking about walk, the walk of life. How will it skew your thinking? How will you think? And what is your belief? What are you believing right now? Because this is important. What is your belief? And will you stand on that belief when times get tough? When times get really serious, will you stand on that belief and not waver? Will you stake your life on your convictions? Did you hear that? Will you stake your life on your convictions as people did of old? Or will you be driven by every whim of mankind and by every wind of crisis? Did you hear that? Whim of mankind and wind of crisis. That means you change your belief system every time there's a wind of crisis. If it blows here, my system changes. Blows there, my system changes. No matter what happens, I start moving and shifting. My faith changes. My hope changes. Everything changes as the wind. My confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Bishop, aren't you ready? Don't you think that Jesus Christ is coming soon? I believe Jesus is coming when He wants to. Do I believe He's coming? Someone said to me, I believe Jesus is on His way. No, He's not on His way. It don't take Him that long to get here. Jesus is trying to set up what He died for, His church, the living force, a group of people that demonstrate the might and power of the kingdom of God, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He's trying to demonstrate to everything living and spiritual that He is all powerful, He is almighty, and that He's full of mercy and grace. Well, Bishop, you don't understand. I'm really worried. Have you heard somebody say that lately? I am so very, very worried. Now hear this statement from your pastor. The seeds of worry, say it, the seeds of worry will produce a harvest of inner conflict. You just keep worrying. You keep planting those seeds. You go to bed at night worrying about certain things. I won't even label them. You already know. You get up in the morning, drink your coffee, and you're worrying. I'm worrying about my husband or my wife. I'm worrying about my children. I'm worried about this pandemic. I'm worried about the economy. I'm worried about my job. Worry doesn't change a thing. Prayer does. So we worry and worry and worry, and as we worry, we plant seeds into the inner man, which will bring about inner conflict. That's all it will do. It'll change your nature. It'll change your attitude. It'll change the way you talk to people. Just your inner conflict will change that, change everything about you. You cannot be in conflict with yourself. You can be in conflict with a lot of things, but you can't be in conflict with yourself. You have to hold firm to your belief and your convictions and stand strong on the Word of God. Amen? Now watch this, Psalms 119, verse 81. It doesn't matter what's going on. I may be weary. I may get tired. I'm really tired of hearing the news because the news has nothing good to say. And the psalmist says it this way in Psalms 119, 81. My soul faints for your salvation. God, I need your salvation. I need the only one that can help me. I need you to be my Savior, Lord. But my hope is in thy word. Now, I don't know how you define that, but my hope is in his word. Not in Pastor Mike or Pastor Kenny or Pastor Ariel or Sister Kathy or Kaylee or Denise or our other members of our church. Do you understand that word, it may tingle your ears, it may vibrate your eardrums, but that is not my hope. My hope is built on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul faints for thy salvation, but my hope, watch this, but I hope in your word. My hope is in your word, not someone else's word, not someone else's idea. I love these theologians. They all have these ideas about what's going to happen. And my God, they got so many right now that are jumping on the bandwagon, writing books and preaching sermons about this is the end of time right now. This is it. This is it. This is it. Well, this is it. I'm ready. I personally don't believe that this is it. I believe this is it for us to get ready and wake up and do something for the kingdom of God. I'm tired of all this woe and groan. Oh, woe is me. Because I have hope in the Word of God. Then he says in verse 115 of Psalms 119, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God. Nothing you do or say is going to keep me away from God's law. Now watch this. Up 116, uphold me according to thy word. Lord, you know what your word said. You're going to hold me up. You're going to lift me up. What's the next three words? That I may live. Psalms 119, 116. That I may live. Do you want to live? It's his word that lifts you. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Lord, don't let my hope fall aside. Don't allow people to laugh at my hope. You'll have people all in life that will laugh about your hope. But don't give up on it. Keep on believing. Hold on. Hold on. The old song says, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Also, I thought this morning, the old song says, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Oh God, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends just misunderstand, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. God, stand by me. Oh God, I will have peace. God will give me peace and solution. Not just peace, but he'll give you solution. And where will he give you? In the midst of the storm. He'll do it right in the midst of the storm. There's no reason for him to reach in when everything's going well. But that's the time to worship and praise God. You should start thanking God when everything's going good. And thanking him. Because when it gets tough, let me tell you, that's when God, you can call on the name of the Lord and he'll bring you peace in the midst of the storm. So something that you've watched here in the last few days, because everything has changed, hasn't it? Everything has changed. I mean, governors making decrees that will, the whole government shutting down, presidents talking about things that must come to pass. Life as you know it. Life as we all know it. And we've enjoyed it. can change in the twinkling of an eye. And also life, our whole life is nothing but the twinkle in the eye of God. You know that? Just like that. In the eye of God, it's just a twinkle. But oh, hear me, eternity. Say eternity. Eternity is as far as you can think and beyond. Add a trillion, trillion, million, trillion, million years, and you've just begun in eternity. Eternity is not finite, it's infinite, on and on and on. If this is true, what I just said, hope is very important. Hope will cause you to stand in the face of adversity. If this is true, then in times like these, what are we going to do with the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? Are we going to preach, woe? Woe is me. Nothing good's going to happen. Everything's falling apart. Plagues are going to come on the earth and destroy everybody. Let me just tell you, plagues can come and plagues can go. Financial crisis can come and financial crisis can go. But God is still the constant there. He is our source and our strength. It's God that keeps things into balance. When we forget Him, that's when things get out of balance. It is our faith in Jesus and our call for the Lord. It's not just to believe in Jesus for a new job. Well, I believe Jesus for a new job, or I believe Jesus just to get healed. I believe Jesus for a new dress, or I believe Jesus for a new car. No, 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 1,000 times no, it's not just that. I believe Jesus because our faith in Jesus brings about a demonstration of His power to the nations. Did you hear me? It brings up a demonstration of His power to the nations. That's what we're here for, to demonstrate His goodness, His power, His mercy to the nations. The Bible says in Psalm 71, verse 16, I love these verses. I will praise Your mighty deeds, O God. Start doing that today. O sovereign Lord, I will tell everyone that You alone are just. O God, You have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I take this to myself because He's been with me all my life. You've taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things You do. That's what you need to do. Constantly tell people about the wonderful things. Listen, I ask people to come online and tell of their healings, to answer their testimonies so I can know what God has done for them, and they won't even do that. Matter of fact, as this program is going on right now, you can be writing. We love to see your responses. And tonight at 6:30, I'm going to be at my home, and I'm going to come on live again, and I'm going to be taking your requests and praying for you. So mark that down, 6:30 tonight. I'm going to do that. Why? The reason I do that is not just to hear myself be heard. I don't want to just listen to myself. I want to reach people with their needs and see God move. But when that happens, please respond and tell people what God has done for you. No matter how insignificant you think it is, we need to give God the glory. And I base all what I just said on this. I constantly tell others about the wonderful things that You do, O God. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim Your power to this generation. What? Yes, don't care how old you are. Proclaim His greatness to this generation. I want to proclaim Your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the highest heavens. You have done such wonderful things. Who can compare with You, O God? No one can compare with God. Nothing can compare with God. I mean, I love and respect the authorities of the land, but they don't compare to God. Why must we do these things? Why must we reflect on the things God's done for us? Why must we tell people about His goodness? Because, hear this, this is in closing. You need to hear me. Why must this be done? You, my friend, point to yourself. You, my friend, are someone's last opportunity at their grasp for hope. You're someone's last opportunity for their grasp at hope. You are the catalyst. You are the boat coming by in the stormy waters, throwing out the lifeline. You are that one. We have to put away weariness if we're going to do that. We have to press on and fight on. Here's something that's important to me, and this is what a lot of preachers need to learn. Some have their eyes on just their feet, and others have their eyes on the horizon. I hope you understand what I just said. Some are so limited. They're set on the temporal, right here and now. They got their eyes set on their feet. But my eyes are set to the horizon. I see into my future, my purpose, the plan and destiny, and what we can do for God. I will not lose hope. Where are your eyes? I'll ask you that right now. What are you seeing? What do you see? Just the temporal, or do you also see the eternal? What do you see? This is important. Do you see sickness and dying, or do you see life? What do you see? Because what you see is where you're going to gravitate. Never lose your hope. Never lose your hope. Hear this. Why is suicide so rampant? Why is the rate of suicide going up and up and up? Why is it climbing? Many of you can answer that. Because people lose hope in their life. When you lose hope, you're dying. God help us. Hope needs to be activated. Some dream of successes, while others, listen, I dream of hope as my success. I want to have hope in my life. While a select few, then, they're just dreaming, but I'm going to hope and see it come to pass through faith. Some just dream it, and others, a select few, take the wheel of life and steer down the road that leads to success. They take hold of it. The road that leads to abundant life. It's time for you. It's time for your family. It's time for this church to take the wheel and steer it right down the center of God's will, which will bring great success. Here's God's will. This early this morning, this hit me. God's will is that you become a living example. Now, this is important. God's will for you is that you become a living example and not a foundation for a tombstone. I hope you understood that. He wants you to be a living example, not a foundation for a tombstone. That's where most people are, in the dead works, dead messages, dead testimonies. Everything's dead in their life. It's just like you're walking into a graveyard. Why does anybody want this Jesus in a graveyard? Years ago, I was sitting at a restaurant, and across from the restaurant was a graveyard. I was sitting there talking to someone, and I looked out the window and saw in the middle of the graveyard a statue of Jesus. And I thought how sad it is. The only place we want to put Jesus or place Jesus is in a graveyard. And most pastors, most teachers, some very learned people, all they're doing is presenting a graveyard Jesus, a Jesus that has no life. There is no hope. Everything's falling apart. Nothing's going right for me. Oh, woe is me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close with that. The most important thing you can do is take hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take hold of your faith. Strengthen yourself according to the Word of God. Do that which is right in the sight of God. What is right in the sight of God? By faith. Only through faith can you please God, and by faith only can you be justified. Only by faith. It takes faith. Don't worry about the future. Let God deal with that. God has control of the future. You deal with the here and now and what's going on and what you shall become and how you will reach people. And somewhere you need to call somebody today. Tell them about this program. It'll be on later on. You'll be able to see it. But somebody today needs to hear this message to know that they may be in the ocean. The waves may be throwing them, and their hope may be that somebody will come by. They're going to come by, and then faith takes over, and they're going to throw out the lifeline. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for you, and I'll be praying this evening for you at 6:30 on Facebook, so don't forget that. But right now, put your hand on your heart, and let's pray and believe God. Father, I thank you so very much. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us, oh God, by means of this marvelous media to reach out into homes and lives and schools and hospitals and cars. We're reaching out now, God, to people that need help. And Lord, I believe in your spirit. Some called me this week, oh God, that's tested positive for the COVID-19. I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have been tested positive, but I positively believe that God can touch you right now. Strengthen you right now and help you right now. For those that are sick, those that are suffering, those that are hurting, those that feel lost, those that have no hope, take on hope, put on hope. Stand in righteousness and look forward in faith, because God is your source. And he sent me here today to tell you that it's not ending. It's not over. It's not over yet. God is still building. He's still demonstrating. He's still calling his people into greatness. So Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I thank you, Father, for all our family members, for the East West Church, which is my great family. Lord, for all the responses that's come in today, for all those testimonies that's come in today. I thank you in advance for those. I thank you, God, for people that are checking in right now. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen. So don't forget tonight, you've seen this, but I'll be back at 6:30 live taking your requests and praying. And I believe God is going to answer our prayers. And don't forget, if you have something to give, you've seen the instructions on the screen, please do that. If you're new to our viewing audience, please go on our website, eastwestchurch.org. Go on there and check it out. There's so many different ways for you to become a part of this great ministry. I love you and I respect you. And thank you for being my friend. I'll see you next time. Amen.